Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
Hey, if you would, how many brought your Bibles? If you have a good week, go to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We've been spending a little time on a series that I've been calling Living in the Vine. And while you're going over to John 14, I want to show you a video clip. And this video clip is nothing more than just an individual who decided to put a little pressure on this. I mean, you know, it's not good enough for us just to collect theories and they stay that. I mean, you know, that he wants us to bring those theories over into the arena of experience. Because he has things he wants to say to us. And I want to show you this video, and it's only 2 minutes long, so it's not very long. But I want you to recognize, and I want you to pay attention to the ways that the Spirit of God communicates to what we call new creation man. Okay? Go ahead. Yeah, just go to John 14. Let me know when it's loaded. John chapter 14, look at verse 18. John 14 verse 18. Now we're not going backwards here, folks. We're headed over to John 16. Okay, so I'm just kind of going back to pick up a few loose ends here. John chapter 14 verse 18. He says this. He said, "I will not leave you as orphans." Everybody say orphans. Do you know? You ever notice that orphans live in theory? They have imaginary parents, or they may think that, you know, mom and dad are coming back for me. But it's all, everything that's in their head is theory. Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you as an orphan." He said, "I'm going to come to you." In fact, that phrase, you know, I'm reading out the NASB. He says, "I will come to you." That phrase "will come to you" is actually in the present tense. And it is an ongoing, constant basis. It's not just one time. So he's not speaking here of, okay, look, guys, after I raise from the dead, I'm going to come back. Do you know that's how I read that when I was a kid? When I get done raising from the dead, I'm going to come back and we'll get together then. That's not what he's talking about here because it's in the present tense. You see why it's so important to study your Greek New Testament? Because there's stuff you just won't see in the English print. He said, I'm going to be coming to you as an ongoing, constant basis. But I love the next thing. The next thing is it's in the middle voice. You say, what does that mean? It means that he's going to participate in the results of his actions. So Jesus is telling them, he says, look, I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. And I'm going to participate. Those times when I do come to you on an ongoing, constant basis, I'm going to be participating in the results of my actions with you. That isn't just some theory you're believing in, folks, is it? This is a level of fellowship that, you know, I certainly was not shown when I was a young kid growing up in church. Because I was just basically taught there's things you need to believe in. You know, but he never showed me what Jesus is actually saying here. He says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. And those times that I do come to you on an ongoing, constant basis, I'm going to participate in the results of my actions with you. And he says, verse 19, after a little while, the world will no longer see me, but I love this, you will see me. Again, that's not talking about when he was resurrected on, you know, a one-time basis when he met with him in the various places. This is talking about on an ongoing, constant basis, you will be seeing me. Does this wake this up for you guys at all? Are you alive? He says, I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. I'm going to be participating in the results of my actions when I come to you on an ongoing, constant basis. And you are going to, as a result of what I've done, you are going to be seeing me on an ongoing, constant basis. Because I live. That's a statement of fact. You will live also. In verse 20, he says, and in that day that I am living and you're living also, and I'm coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis and participating in the results of my actions with you on an ongoing, constant basis, in that day you're going to know through personal involvement. But hold on, it's also in the middle voice. You're going to know through personal involvement and as a result of and participate in the results of your actions and your knowing. You're going to know that I'm in my Father and that you're in me and that I'm in you. And then verse 21, he says, he who has my commandments, that's in the present tense, ongoing constantly, he who has my commandments and keeps them. Now here's something that's very interesting, that word keeps. The word keeps there, it is in the present tense, which means it's an ongoing, constant environment. But it's not talking about the print in your Bible. It may be talking about the revelation of the print in your Bible that you get from the Spirit of God when you spend time with Him. And it also is speaking about those situations in your life when you're out and about living life, and we're going to see one right here, where He impresses you to do something or He speaks to you to do something. That is the commandments that Jesus is speaking of. And He says if you keep them. Now, the thing that's interesting about that word keeps is it's really the word to guard, or you could say this, to observe something with continually. To observe something continually and attention. To observe something with continually and giving it attention. But it speaks of this, if I could say it in the right way. It speaks of receiving something from Him and seeing to it that it's perpetuated to its ending point. Receiving something from Him and then seeing that it's perpetuated to its ending point. Because how many know, the word says God is love. And we're going to get into this a little bit too. The word says God is love, but love is not just some stagnant thing. Right? The love of God is always in motion, and the purpose of it is to land somewhere and to produce something. Right? Y'all with me? Okay. So when Jesus is saying, if you keep my words or you keep my commands, what he's saying is, if you guard and watch over what I say to you and you keep it perpetually moving to its ending point. Because how many know Jesus isn't going to come down off the throne, come back into the earth, minister to people. He now has the body to do that, right? He has the body to do that. And see, what he wants us to understand, and this is what the writings of Paul reveal. We are the body of Christ, right? How many know we're connected at the neck? Right? Is the body, I mean, we're not talking about the headless horseman here, right? We're talking about, the body of Christ is connected at the neck to what? The head. And even your own head, you get commands from your brain down through your body for things to function a certain way, at a certain time, a certain place, all the time, right? You don't have to think when you get up in the morning, okay, well, I better not stand up yet. I got to get my heart started. You just don't think that way, right? I mean, I hope you don't think that way. Okay, it's a good pace now, so I can get up. It's not like starting a lawnmower engine. But there's things in the body that function automatically from the head. Well, the body of Christ is supposed to be no different. We're connected at the head, and Jesus is trying to communicate to us, look, after the resurrection, there's going to be a change in the way human beings function. They're no longer going to function out of their own minds, groping in the dark, trying to find their way to me, as Paul said in Acts 17. He says, I'm going to come to you on an ongoing, constant basis, and you're going to be seeing me on an ongoing... The word seeing there literally is the word, it's the word to perceive. You're going to be perceiving me on an ongoing, constant basis. Okay, so go ahead and watch this video, and we'll move on from here.
One day I was out on the streets and the Lord spoke to me. He says, go to Albertsons. There's a cashier there that I want you to talk to. And as soon as the Lord spoke that to me, I had a vision and I saw a young lady and I saw her arm, and the arm had a brace looking thing on it. It was black. So what I did is I found where Albertsons was at, and I parked my car and I went into there, and as soon as I went in, I went up to look at the cashiers to see which one had the brace on their arm, and there was two of them up there, and I didn't recognize what I saw on the vision right there on either one of them. So what I did, I was thinking maybe they're in their this particular cashier is in the store stocking shelves, or maybe they're on a break or something. So I kind of walked through the store looking to see if I could find her. And I couldn't, so I decided to go back up front. Now, these two same cashiers were still there, and I got up there, and I kind of looked, and I looked at the one, then I looked at the other one, I looked, and there was that black thing on that gal's arm. And the thing about it is, with me with visions, I have to see things exactly the way I saw it in the vision, or I don't recognize it a lot of times. So here's the gal, so I get in line, and when it was my turn to stand in front of her, I walked up there, and I says, do you need a miracle in your life? And as soon as I said that, she piped up great big, yes. And I said, the Lord has heard your prayer, and for you're going to get the miracle that you've been praying for you to just keep trusting Him, for you're going to get the miracle that you're asking for. I walked out of the Albertsons. I didn't say no more to her. I walked out and got in my car and left. Now, that's what I call adventures in the Holy Ghost.
Okay, the reason I showed you that, I want you to notice what he said. He said the Lord spoke to him and told him to go to a particular Albertsons. And when he was thinking on that, he said, I had a vision and I saw an arm with a cast. Now, he doesn't explain this, and he doesn't tell you whether, you know, what kind of vision it was. It's not really important. One of these days we'll get into the word teaches. There's basically three different kinds. But the most common one is you see things in your mind's eye. How many of you have seen that? You see something in your mind. It's almost like the Spirit of God, you know, out of your spirit shows you something on the projection screen of your mind. And you just see it. You just get a glimpse of it. Okay? You know, we'll assume that that's what he was speaking of. But you notice that the Spirit of God communicated what was in the heart of the Father to him, and he acted on it. Now why is that? Because why is it that, it seems like some people are used that way? It's because they do it. They just do it. They act on what they've been given. And Jesus is saying here in John 14, he says in verse 20, in that day you'll know that I'm in the Father and you're in me and I'm in you. Folks, we're not going to come to the place where that's really a reality to us until we're stepping out. Because Jesus never intended for the things that he communicated in the Gospels and in the New Testament by Paul and Peter and some of the other writers. He never intended for that just to stay as theory in our mind and for us to just mentally assent to those things. Part of the process of revelation in our lives is when you step out into what you're seeing and you let Him verify it to you that way. So it's a two-part process. We spend time in the Word, and we spend time with Him because we learn how to recognize how He directs us, and He gives us impressions in our spirit, and He teaches us things in the Word. How many have ever read something in the Word, and you just had this impression that I need to go back and read that again? I'm missing something here. That was the Spirit of God. You know, in John 16, and we'll get to this at the end. In John 16, Jesus says this. He says in verse 13, He says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He'll not speak of Himself, but He'll speak those things that He hears. And He'll show you things to come. So He'll guide you, He'll speak to you, and He'll show you things. Do you notice that two of the three of those are nonverbal? Guiding and showing, that isn't necessarily verbal. The challenge is, see, most folks, they're looking for words. They're looking for a voice. They're looking for, and they're missing all of the times that the Spirit of the Lord is guiding and showing them things because they're just impressions. The number one job of Holy Spirit in Romans 8:15 is to witness things to you. I just have a witness on the inside. This is the way it is. You know, Paul said it this way in one place. It seemed good to me. You know, that's not Holy Spirit said. And you know, you look at the situation with Paul. Remember Paul in the shipwreck? He says, I perceive that this journey is going to be with great damage and loss of life. He didn't say Holy Spirit told me. He just says, I perceive that this journey is going to be with great damage and loss of life. So he was given a perception, but how many know his perception wasn't exactly accurate because an angel came and showed and said, look, Paul, it's not, I've given you everybody on this ship. There won't be any loss of life. There'll be great damage, but here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do. What you need to do is you need to make sure everybody stays on the boat and doesn't start jumping ship. And I'll give you everybody that's on board. So what happened there was the Spirit of God gave Paul an impression of the plans of the enemy. And then he came in and said, now this is, you know, if there won't be loss of life as long as you'll do this. Just make sure everybody stays with the ship. The Holy Spirit didn't say that. See, a lot of times we communicate things like this. Well, Holy Spirit told me. Holy Spirit didn't say anything. It was just an impression. There's a difference. So we need to recognize the way the Spirit of God leads and guides us. Jesus is saying here, he says, look, when I'm coming to you, I'm going to be coming to you on an ongoing, constant basis. It shouldn't be odd, folks. The things that we see in the book of Acts, have you ever had this thought? What's up? Why does this not, how come the churches nowadays don't look the same? What you see in the book of Acts is real New Testament church. That's what it is. It's normal. Everybody say normal. I like your outfit. We got the same memo today. The book of Acts is normal. And all it is in the book of Acts is the Spirit of God interacting with the body of Christ. The Spirit of God is the spine. The Spirit of God relates everything from the head down to the body and causes it to function. The Word says we're built up into Him. Jesus is saying here, He says, He who has my commandments and guards them, watches over them, to cause them to remain in a continuous state. You watch over my word and cause it to continue. In other words, you act it out, you walk it out. This guy in the video, what did he do? He got a direction from the Spirit of God. He saw a vision of what he was supposed to be looking for. He went to that Walmart. And he was there to relay a message from the Spirit of God. Do you think that God does that still today? Yes. Do you think it does it through you? You better. You're part of the body too, right? And you have Holy Spirit nerves running through you, right? So The problem is the thing we've called the church and the system in the world that's given us the ideas of man in a certain setting has told you that God doesn't do that anymore. That the body of Christ really is a paralytic. The body of Christ is not paralyzed. It still has all of its nerves. It still moves. It still gets all of its direction from the head. It's not severed. So Jesus is saying, this is what's going to happen. After I come back, I'm going to come back to you on a constant, ongoing basis. You're going to be perceiving me on an ongoing, constant basis. And both you and I are going to be participating in the results of our actions with each other. That sounds a whole lot better to me than just learning a bunch of theory and a bunch of theology. And then I love this question, verse 22, John 14. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Now, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answers that question in verse 23. He says like this, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone is on an ongoing basis loving me, if anyone is loving me, he will be watching over and guarding my words to cause them to remain in a state of being continuous. In other words, they're going to carry them out until they land. And he says, he will be keeping my word on an ongoing, constant basis and carrying it out, making sure it's perpetuated to continue. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. We will come to him and we'll participate in the results of our actions with him. And we're going to make our abode. The word abode there is interesting because it's only mentioned three times in the whole entire New Testament. But it has to do with a permanent place. Permanent. Holy Spirit's not renting space in you. But this is really talking more, not so much about the fact that you have his nature. This is really speaking of a ongoing, constant basis. When Jesus and Father find someone who give their words, I don't know if the word, if perpetuity is a word, but if they give his word, if they give the word becomes flesh and dwells among you. If when they find people that are willing to give their words flesh, they love to hang out with you. That's what Jesus is saying here. He says, you know, when we find people that are going to guard, watch over, and give our words the actions to perpetuate them to their landing place, we're going to come and make our permanent home with them. Because what? Why? Because then they found somebody who doesn't just live life and ignore. They found somebody who will actually, because again, Jesus is not going to, you know, come off the throne and come down here and do things, right? I got a bunch of other verses, but you know, for the sake of time, I'll skip around. I'll skip ahead here. Go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. And while you're going there, I want to read something in John that Jesus said, and I want you to catch what he's saying. You're over in 1 John chapter 2, and we'll be going to verse 3. But I want to show you this. In John 14, verse 23, Jesus said to them, if anyone is loving me and is keeping my words, my Father will love him, and we will come and we'll be making our abode, our permanent dwelling place with him. But then over in chapter 15, he says this in verse 9, just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. What does that mean? abide in my love. And he goes in verse 10, he says, if you keep my commandments or my spoken words, or you guard and watch over my spoken words, or you give my words that I speak to you or that I impress upon you, that you give them, cause them to continue until they land on the designated target. He says, if you'll keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Now, what is that saying? Well, didn't he say previously, he's talking about his words, right? He said, abide in my words as I abide in my Father's words. And he says, if you keep my commandments or you abide in my words, you'll abide in my love. Here's what we don't realize so many times. Take the video, for example. When the Spirit of God impressed upon that gentleman to go to a particular store and he showed him what to look for, what we need to realize is that impression, that vision, that however it came to him, he said the Holy Spirit said, but it could have been a voice or it could have been an impression, okay? Once that leaves the mouth of Father through the Spirit of God to you, what we need to understand is that is love that was just released. His words are filled with his love, and that love wants a landing point. When he speaks things, he's released his love. And Jesus is saying, if you keep my words and watch over them and see to it that they continue, they stay in a state of continuousness until they land. John says it like this, you cause his word to become complete. He says, when you're doing that, you're keeping yourself in my love. His love was the words that he spoke to you. His love was the impression that he gave you to go a certain direction. But when you act that out, you're keeping yourself in the sphere of the working of his love. Do you see what I'm saying? Do you follow that at all? When the Father speaks things out of his mouth, the word says God is love. As soon as love speaks, those words are love. They are the power of God, but they also are the love of God. So when we take those words and we act on those things, whether they come to us as an impression or they come to us as literal words from the Spirit of God, we are literally, when we take that and we act that out, or we do what the impression was, or we say what we're supposed to say to who we're supposed to say it to, we're perpetuating the love of God from Father, through Holy Spirit, through us, and letting it land where it's supposed to land. And Jesus is saying, if you'll guard and watch over my words, you're going to be keeping yourself in that sphere of love. We could say it like this. If you'll watch over and guard my words, you're going to keep yourself in the flow of my love. I don't know about you folks, but I want to live life in that flow and let it go where it's supposed to go. Let it land on the person it's supposed to land on. The person at Walmart, that cashier, she had no idea that a guy was going to come in and straight from the mind of Father tell her something that only she knew. He didn't say anything about what happened after that or what happened to that woman, but I guarantee you she's rocked. Because all of a sudden, out of the blue, somebody... See, even normal human beings that are just natural men, they've been told that God is way out there and you're way down here and never the two will ever meet. That's why the world is angry. Because they look at stuff that happens like in Colorado over the weekend and they said, where in the heck was God? If God is love, then why did he let this happen? My question to them is, what was he supposed to do? Was he supposed to come down off of his throne, come back into the flesh, show up at the movie theater and jump the guy? What was he supposed to do? You know, that's the silliness of the questions that natural man has. But why do they have these questions? They have these questions because the church has been taught by the very same system that God does not talk to you, nor does he want to talk to anybody else. So don't even go there. So we've left a complete vacuum in the world. When Father wants to say things to people, but we've been told, well, he will never use me. You know, or you have this crazy idea, well, you know, the vessel's got to be clean. Can we get honest real quick for a minute? Does the word say you're the righteousness of God? Where are you the righteousness of God? In your spirit. Isn't the vessel clean? How else are you supposed to get the stuff from the Spirit of God? Out of your head? The vessel is clean. The real you is your spirit. And if he made you righteous and the Spirit of God's in there, then the vessel is clean. We need to quit talking like it's not, because we can't have skewed theology. That's the problem with so many believers. They have pie theology. They believe this in this area, and then they believe this in this area, and they believe this in this area. The challenge is, if you start showing all these pieces together, they don't match. I'm the righteousness of God, but God will never use me. Why? Because I gotta be holy. Why? You just told me you were the righteousness of God. You are, you're not. The vessel's clean, man. That's why he doesn't want us to have to be trying to be holy when if he makes you that way. Now your job is to learn how to develop your, as the writer of Hebrews says, develop your senses by reason of use. You develop your spiritual senses to discern good and evil. That's our job, is to develop our senses to discern good and evil, because if he's already made you righteous, the vessel's clean, so now let's let him have the vessel back. This is your reasonable service, because all things come from him, through him, and to him. Your reasonable service is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you can make demonstration or prove what the good, the more acceptable, and the perfect will of God is. That's living in that place. Right? So, I told you to go to 1 John, right? 1 John, a couple minutes left. Chapter 2, verse 3. Now I'm going to read you what the idea of what the Greek New Testament says in these verses, so don't get confused if there's more words in my reading than what's on your print. By this we are knowing through personal involvement that we have come to know him. In the past, with present results, whenever we are watching over his spoken commands. You might as well put in parentheses there, his will. Because, you know, whatever he speaks, that's obviously his will, right? And he says in verse 4, the one who is saying, I've come to know him, and is not watching over to execute his spoken commands or his will. John says he is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whatever, verse 5, whoever is watching over to execute his word or his will, in him the love of God has truly been brought to completion. There it is right there. That's what keeping his word looks like. If you allow the flow of his love to go out of his mouth into your spirit, walk it out and let it be brought to completion, that's keeping his word. That's allowing his word to be perpetually transferred from him out of his heart to what he wants to produce change. You guys get this? Is it making sense? I'm not talking over your head. So John's saying, look, you're allowing his love to be brought to completion. By this we're knowing. Say we're knowing. Not we're guessing. We're hoping. We're knowing by this, by what? By watching over and executing his word or his will, and the love being brought to completion. By this we're knowing, because of our personal involvement with it, that we're in him. You know why it's so challenging for some people to get this concept of being in Christ? Because it never leaves their head. It's just a theory. Jesus wants to take the truth of that you're in him. I mean, think about this, folks. Let me see if I can simplify this more. when we're living our life in a place of, when we're living our life in a place of, we're constantly perceiving Him, and we're constantly picking up on those things that we're perceiving, and we're giving those things flesh, and we're walking those things out, and we're seeing the results of those things that we picked up in our spirit, whether it was Him speaking to us, or whether it was a perception, whether it was a guiding or a showing. There is no doubt in your understanding that you're in Him. Because it's not just a theory. You're experiencing being in Him. You're experiencing what it is to be in Him. Jesus said it like this, you know, I'm the vine, you're the branch. You know, if you dwell in me, He said, you'll produce much fruit, because I ordained the system to be that way. But if you get out from me, you'll be like a branch who's stiff, dried up, rigid, paralyzed. He said, and you know, branches, they just take those and throw them in the fire. You know, the problem is we let religion say that was you going in the fire, but that's not what they're saying in those verses. Jesus is just explaining, this is what life outside of me looks like. You become paralyzed. You don't know what to do. You're groping around in the dark. You don't know where to go. You don't know what to do. You cease being flexible. You're rigid. Why are you rigid? Because it's self-defense. And Jesus is saying, that's not how I created man to be. I created man to be flexible. I created man to be connected to me. I created man to take from the mind of my Father through my spirit and through me. And I created him to bring that love to, be willing to bring that love to completion someplace. And when you do that, when you keep and watch over my words, you're keeping yourself in the flow of my love. Anything that comes out of your spirit, let me just say this, if you're a new creation, and you've made Jesus your Lord, and He's put His Spirit on the inside of you, and He's connected you back to Father. Anything that comes out of your spirit is going to be the love of God. Jude said it like this. Remember, a few weeks back, we talked about praying in tongues. What is praying in tongues? Praying out of your spirit. Jude says in verse 20, 21, right in there, he says, when you pray out of your spirit, you're keeping yourself in the love of God. John said it in 1 John. He says, you watch over yourself. You guard yourself, and the evil one can't touch you. Same thing Jesus said. He said, the enemy has nothing in me. Why? Because I always do those things that are pleasing to my Father. It's ridiculous for us to have the debate, can a new creation live without sin? When in the religious system, the answer is capital N, capital O. Because the religious system is always hanging around your neck, things that you should be doing and what you ought to do and what you're not doing and all those things. And so you end up living out of the law of your mind as far as, you know, anybody can put, you know, it's like Wikipedia, man. Anybody can put something in there. And if you believe it, it's going to start governing your emotions, governing your perceptions and perspectives. And He didn't create man to live like that. That's some of the mess that Paul's dealing with at the end of Romans. About, you know, condemnation and those kind of things. He created man to live out of His Spirit with the Holy Spirit in there. And if you stay in that flow of love, where else is that going to keep you except a sinless life? Honestly, where else is it going to take you? I mean, that's the very issue that John is dealing with in 1 John. If you read 1 John all the way through, what you're going to find is what John's dealing with there is he's trying to get over the believers, look, we need to get one thing straight here. If you're staying in the flow of the Spirit of God, you already know that He's righteous, right? Yeah. So then you need to understand that everything that comes from Him through you, you got to understand that that's righteousness. And if you stay in that place, you're guarding yourself against the evil one. He can't touch you. I mean, my gosh, in 1 John 1:9, He says, he just came off of the scenario that he said, you know, if anybody says they're living in the light and they have fellowship with Father and fellowship with Jesus, but they're really living in the darkness, they're deceiving themselves. But then if they're just stubborn about it and they say, nope, I'm in the light. He says, look, then you need to understand this. And he takes us through like two or three stages of them to understand, look, you cannot say, you know, if that man says he has no sin, he's not talking about every believer. He's talking about the man who says he's in the light when he's not in the light, he's in the dark. Because he just got done saying that in Father there's no darkness at all. We learned that straight from the mouth. And so he's saying, you know, the whole 1 John, stay in the light. Stay there, and you'll literally come, you're in a place where you're guarding yourself and the evil one can't touch you. The same way I guarded myself and the evil one had nothing in me because I only did those things that were pleasing to my Father. Can you see that? Can you see what he's speaking of here? Folks, that's the kind of life that he's created us to live as new creations. Our job is to just learn how to stay in the flow. Learn how to stay in the flow of his love. If you abide in my word, you keep yourself in my love. He's not saying that if you stop doing the words, I don't love you anymore. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying the words are his love. And if you keep yourself in that flow, stop telling yourself, I don't hear God. That's a lie. The challenge is maybe you haven't recognized what the leading of the Spirit of God was, but now that you're starting to learn and recognize what that is, you're going to start finding in everyday little things, just keep checking in here. Just keep checking in your spirit. Be able to live life, you know, doing things, then check back in here. By reason of use, you train yourself to perceive good and evil. And we'll come to the place where, wherever we are, if Father has something on his heart, he knows, man, you're it. He said he knows there's nobody more faithful than you, and him and Jesus get to have some fun. And you can get in on it too, and y'all have a good time together. Amen. Did y'all get anything out of this today? Amen. Well, go ahead and stand up. You know, you remember when Jesus was, you know, you see it in Matthew 10 and in a number of other places where Jesus is talking about, pray that the Lord of the harvest will send laborers into the harvest. That always kind of tweaked me because I was like, why would you sit there and tell your disciples whom you're getting ready to send out to pray for somebody to be sent out? But you realize what he's speaking of there. He's not talking about laborers like the system has created laborers. You go out there and just say what's in your head. He's talking about the kind of laborer who, as he told Nicodemus, he says, no one has ascended to the Father except the one who's coming down from the Father. Well, when did he ascend to the Father? He never left Nicodemus there. He always ascended to the Father because he's always checking in with what Father's seeing. He told the disciples, he says, you know, you always say that there's 4 months until the harvest, but I'm telling you that look, raise up your eyes. In other words, look up and then look down. From Father's perspective, the laborers he's talking about is not the ones that just talk out of their own head, memorize something or whatever. He's talking about laborers who, as a habit, they look up. You get Father's perspective about every situation, and then they go out and they speak that. We need to pray that people, you know, the laborers, not just that he sends them out, but that he sends the people. You notice how I prayed for the people in Colorado. Pray that Father sends those people that know how to be led out of their spirit. We got enough, you know, I'm not saying it's good or bad. We got enough folks going out there living in their head. But Father's got something to say. And he wants to say it exactly the way he wants to say it. So he wants us to be able to pick it up. He wants us to be able to walk in, stay in that place of his love, and let that love come from him through us and land in only a way that he could do it. Those are the kind of laborers that Jesus wants. And those are the kind of laborers that he wants us to pray. The Lord of the harvest will send out the laborers who ascend to the Father and then minister what they have. I believe everybody in this room is one of those people. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you and praise you. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for the greatness of your love on the inside of us. And I declare that every person in this room, myself included, is a Spirit-led individual. We love you with all of our heart. You have permission to utilize this vessel that you made clean because you're jealous for the Spirit that's in me. I just thank you for that, and I thank you for every person in this room, that as you take us on this journey of how to be led by your Spirit, that we'll overcome those barriers of fear, but we'll realize and discover that it's just really that easy. It's just really that easy. We give an impression. We speak an encouraging word that you may lay on our heart to say to somebody. We just bring the blessing wherever we are. Because we are ministers of the blessing, as Paul said. And I just thank you for that. I thank you for a release of the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit to make an open declaration that the system of the world has been judged. I thank you for the gifts of healings, working of miracles, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. For the release of those things, and every time we walk those things out, we're demonstrating the judgment of the world system. And I just thank you for that. And I thank you for the good reports that will be released to the people as we go and live our life. And thank you for it. In Jesus' name. And we agree with that prayer said, amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.